In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, what's happening, Buck 50 runners? Dave Huggins here, William Presson. How you doing today, William?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, excellent, excellent. We are working on season two of the podcast, and we're going to not use the words, we have an exciting show for you today.
I don't know. Exciting for us.
This is a subject that we deal with team captains. And number one, this is not part of the real discussion because we're going to talk about pace times. But for all you Buck 50 runners out there, you should thank your team captain about 150 times.
Yes.
For the cat herding they have to do to get ready for race day. So if you owe them information or you owe them money for hotel registration fees, van costs, food, gas, pay them like yesterday, because these people are really working hard for
they
you.
Do great work.
They're great. I always feel for them. They're herding their other 9 cats. We're herding like 100 cats. We just maybe have more experience in cat herding than they do.
It's a very rewarding profession, that's for sure.
I always remember, is it Justin Wood?
Yeah.
In season one, talked about being a team captain. I remember him saying, nobody will think this is important but you as the team captain. They will not take it seriously. But anyway, team captains, one of the things that you have to do is submit a projected pace time. This is a 150-mile course. We can't start everyone at the same time.
That would be a nightmare.
Well, it would be easy for some people, but it would make what it really does is all of a sudden, the course would get stretched out super duper far by the time it was all said and done, and our checkpoints on Saturday would be open forever.
Yeah, they wouldn't be happy.
They would not be happy. The first checkpoint would only be open for maybe an hour, and they'd be done, so they would be happy, but that's not how we do it. We have a staggered start. The slower teams start at 1 p.m. on Friday. The faster teams, as I like to call the freak show, these elite athletes that come and run this 150-mile course. It's got 9,000 feet of elevation gain. They start last, and then they're the first ones back. So, William, talk us through what the team captain receives from you to submit those pace times.
Well, I'll start by piggybacking off of what you said earlier, that we are controlling, at least this way, we can control the start and the finish. If we started everybody at 1 o'clock on Friday, we would have no way to control the finish at all. This allows us to control when you start, when the checkpoints open and close, and when you finish. We do not know exactly when you are going to go through one place. All of our projections come with a disclaimer that these are mathematical projections based on the times you give us. So if you give us that you run a 15-minute mile and you all of a sudden run an 8-minute mile, there will be discrepancies between those times. It's just the way it is. I don't know if we looked back, we could probably say sometimes you run faster than what you submit, or you may run slower. There's a lot of people that do a great job, and they submit it pretty much right on the dot.
That's why we know it's possible.
Yeah.
So these teams that are like an hour or 2 hours off drive us crazy because it's not that hard to do. Last year, Team Cornfield, who projected 15 hours and 30 minutes, ran 15 hours and 36 minutes.
Yeah, they were moving, and they were precise with it. And I think even though we're kind of going off track here, we can do that, right?
Running off at the mouth.
Yeah. But, you know, it really emphasizes training and practice.
Yes.
Right? We have talked about that before on the show, where get out and run your legs and see what you're going to do. There's going to be different variables. If you go and run it in a snowstorm, your time's going to be different in April when you run, obviously. But for the most part, you should have a good idea what your pace time is coming into the race.
All you need to do is go out and run 5 or 6 miles. Do that 5 or 6 times. You need to be doing it anyway.
You get an average
based on the training guide.
And then you'll have
an
idea.
And you need to be thinking about that on the type of terrain that your legs are. So study your maps before you get here to race day. And if you're going to run leg 5, which is pretty flat, that is going to be much easier. And here's a secret. Leg 15 has a hill in it. There's a hill about halfway in there. So you're going to be a little bit slower on leg 15 than you are leg 5, maybe.
But also don't overthink it either. It's give us accurate information.
If you're plus or minus,
give us the best guess.
Plus, it's not a guess. They got these things called Garmins, Apple Watches. Just go run your 5 miles 5 or 6 times. You figure out what your average is. That's what we want you to enter into the pace projections.
Now, if they have a sundial on their wrist, that may not work. But
it's probably not going to work. And also think about the terrain you're running. So if you're running leg 13 in the middle of the night in Great Seal State Park with some pretty significant elevation, that's going to be different than running something that's super flat.
Right.
So add or subtract from those average times that you have for each of the legs of the race.
Right. So when you get this email from Dave, it'll probably be beginning of January when we will send this out and start collecting the first wave of times. You'll get a link. It will take you to a Google form. It's going to ask you the basic information. Email, what's your name, what's your phone number, and then your team name. So include your team name that you have used in race entry. That way we know who you are.
Don't change it. You can't change your name.
We won't know who you are if you give us some random name. We will figure it out, obviously, but it does make it easier for us. And then on the next page, you will get basically a list of every leg of the race, and it allows you to set, I think there's a little slider, actually, where you can select every 15 seconds of what your pace is per mile for that leg. The reason we do pace is because we calculate that based on the number of miles in the leg to get us a total run time for each leg, rather than you giving us a total time.
We try to take, William takes his IT expertise and has created what we call what he has called the Holy Sheet. The Holy Sheet is this humongous Excel spreadsheet where once you submit your pace times through that Google form, he starts to pull that data out, put that into the Holy Sheet. It will automatically compute your total time based on the miles for each leg. And then when we start setting up your starting times, we start changing the starting time at the top of the page, and it automatically computes a finish.
Yeah, it's gotten a little more complex over the past couple years. It originally was a little more simple, but it, the simplicity is what makes it unique for us and easy, honestly. If we were to do anything more complex, it would get more difficult. But it's like we said earlier, the more accurate information we receive, the better that it's going to be for you guys in the end. It does its job.
It's the old definition of garbage in, garbage out. Correct. So if you send us really crappy times, it's not going to help us establish your start time.
Right. And we've had many teams give us good information. We've had some that have given us not so great information. But really, we have the ability to really dial it in. And that's what, I mean, we can really set these times however we want.
Yeah, we've tried the last couple of years, try to condense the course to where teams are closer together during the event. We do start the fastest teams last and the slower teams first, but then it's not exactly, it's not, we don't start slowest to fastest.
Right.
Because if we did that, it would create a juggernaut on the course and at the finish line, because then teams would get jammed up together. So for us, a perfect pace time is a team that's like 22 to 24 hours, because we can almost start you at any time in there to alleviate some pressure on the course or alleviate pressure at the finish line as teams are coming in.
Yeah, and I think that's where we start to, I mean, in theory, we could really categorize all the times right away. We can sit down and we can say, okay, if they're going to run between this long of a run and this one, then we automatically know they're going to fall into this starting time. But those 24-hour runners, those are the ones we do love, because when we see a starting group that has 45 teams in our initial setup of teams and start times, we know we can pull some of those out, move them around, really just make it work better for everybody.
Yeah, last year, this is one of the things we laugh about sometimes. Like, we've done eight buck 50s, and it took us until year eight to think about starting teams per category. So last year, like, the fastest projected 10-person women's teams all started at 3:30 p.m. I think we kind of knew, like, the 5 and 5:30 and 8 o'clock group had some of the other mixes of teams. But that kind of helps us know during the race where teams are per category. As we get more teams, that might get more complicated, and with 10 categories, we're probably off our rocker to think we can start them like that next year.
Yeah, and you're right. The way we do this does allow us to kind of have an idea who those winners of those categories are going to be. And it basically lets us start doing our work for the finish before the race has even started.
Yeah, that's the goal. Anything we can do to curb that and make it more efficient, more accurate. But, you know, if you have a starting time that you would like to have, just email us and we'll work with you on that. Don't, and I'm going to repeat that, don't sabotage, sandbag, guesstimate your pace times to get a starting time that you think will work out, because if you're not communicating with us, we don't even know what you're thinking to begin with. And as we said, we're moving people around anyway, based on the flow of the race, not just thinking about one team at a time.
Yeah, we've talked about before in episode one of this season of how if you think you're going to be much slower or even potentially walking the course, just let us know.
Like, we can work with it.
Yeah. I would rather get that kind of contact from you guys, or that feedback, letting us know, instead of just this, when I open it up and I see a runtime of 36 hours, I'm going to be scared.
That's right. That's probably not going to work in our 28, 29 hour maximum. However, this goes back to what we talked about earlier. Runners, support your team captain. Make sure you're getting your training in and submitting to them your average pace times so they can then submit that to us. Because the sooner that information is to us, we can start calculating it. We can start releasing starting times, which usually our goal is to release those around early March.
Yeah, I'd say so.
We'll do that as fast as the information comes to us, because usually what happens is, for everyone who is already registered, we'll send you guys an email middle of January, hoping that you get that back to us by February 1st. We also know there'll be still teams registering between mid-January and February 1st. So we won't really ask them for their information until after registration closes. And we usually give you guys a couple weeks to get that back to us. But the sooner you get it in, the sooner we can establish starting times, the sooner everyone else can do their planning. But the key is to train, get those good averages, think about the course, call us if you have any questions.
Correct. And going back to the form that you'll submit, if you're a team captain and you're submitting that, have that information saved prior to submitting it to us. The Google form will send you an email confirmation that you did submit something to us. It will give you a copy of the times that you gave us, but it's not going to be in a pretty format. It doesn't always look good. That being said, if you are trying to fill this form out on the fly and you don't have this info saved and you would like a copy, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. Send me an email, william@thebuck50.com. I cannot guarantee how fast you will get that back, but you will get something back in at least a clean manner. That way you guys have an idea. And you will get something prior to race day that we email out. You may not get it as soon as I get an email from you, but at some point before race day, you will get something with your projected times, at least what you submitted to us.
Yeah, because then we'll print that out for you. That'll be in your registration packet that your team captain picks up at Ohio University Chillicothe. It'll have all that information that's calculated per your starting time, and then you will know exactly where you should be at on the course at all times. That helps both vans, van one and van two, kind of have an idea of where they should be meeting up at. But it's really not so much of a mystery.
So I've got a question for you, Dave. If there are any team captains out there that submit a pace projection the first week of January, as soon as you send that out, and they have a runner substitution or a change in runner, change in order, what are they going to do?
They first of all can just shoot you or I an email, dave@thebuck50.com or william@thebuck50.com. Let us know that, and they can resubmit their form.
Yeah, typically in the past, and this is, if you guys even want to go about it this way, we do like to know, but if you submit a time today, I am going to factor that in as your pace projections. If in 2 weeks you submit another one, that is going to be the set of times that I will use. I will always use the second submitted one. But like we said, we would love to hear from you knowing that you're going to resubmit something.
I would say if you have a runner substitution that's 30 seconds or less difference, that probably doesn't matter. If you have a runner that changes and their pace time is 2 minutes difference, we probably definitely want to know that.
Yeah, it's going to make enough of a difference that what are the chances of it possibly causing you to move start times is maybe pretty small, but it can make enough of a difference after you've run 3 legs. It can definitely shift you around.
Yeah, because we also use these pace projections to establish our open and close times for all the checkpoints. And that's really critical when you've got about 500 people rolling around the county, opening up basically 29 different positions on the course.
Correct.
At various times. They're also closing at various times, and we're giving them that expectation that you need to be open here and you can close at this time. So as long as you're within the front of the pack and the back of the pack and you're not keeping checkpoints open too long and you're not getting to checkpoints before they open, everything's 100% hunky-dory in Buck 50 world.
Yeah, I would have to think there's some, I know this for a fact, there are some teams out there that know they're running super fast, way ahead of what they submitted. We know there are some teams that they know they're running behind. It happens. But I have to imagine there is a certain group that they're totally stress-free because they're right in the middle the whole way through. And we've seen them, not only on just pace projections. We do see them on GPS trackers, which are wonderful. And they just stay right in the middle the whole way. And we don't have to worry about them. We look at the first team way out ahead. We look at the last team. And we will sometimes correlate between what you guys submitted to us just to make sure you guys are still on pace to finish in a timely manner. But it's you want to be one of those middle teams.
Everyone wants to be in the middle. This is sometimes when you're just happy to be average. We will talk about why we're talking about this. If you get behind, we have a skip zone policy that will help keep you on track with very minimal amount of pain. So what we look at is if you are an hour behind your pace projections by the time you get to leg 18, what we will most likely have you do is when you get to checkpoint 20, we will have runner 1 and runner 2 run leg 21 together. Your van driver will go ahead to checkpoint 21. They will pick up both runners, and you will proceed and drive to checkpoint number 22. Runner 3 will pop out of the van, run their leg, and most likely that will save you about an hour of time, get you back on track with your projected paces. You won't keep our checkpoints open longer. You'll be able to finish by that 6 or 6:30 target that we have, and everything's fine. We definitely have some flexibility and some strategy built into operating the Buck 50 race as it unfolds.
Yeah, and if we reach out to you during the race and you are looking like you're going to have to use that and skip a leg, don't worry. Like, don't take it as a bad thing. If anything, it's meant more or less to salvage, not even salvage, but it lets you guys enjoy the race.
It helps you finish.
Yeah,
helps you get back on
that's
track.
Ultimately, and, that's ultimately what it's about. And this is not to offend anybody in any way. If you're in that position where you are an hour behind of what you thought you were going to be, you're probably not contending for a top spot in your category. But that's okay. We want you to finish the race. We want you there at the finish line. We want you to have a great time. We still want you to enjoy the race. And we want to get you through there. We don't want it to be 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we're looking for you.
That's right. That's right. So, pace projections. It is possible. It's not a mystery. We are certainly blessed to have Mr. William Presson and his IT skills and the holy sheet that we scroll through, manipulate, orchestrate, establish starting times, and it really makes the Buck 50 experience great for everyone. So thank you, William, for all you do for us. Thank you to all of you team captains who take the leadership role of organizing your teams, recruiting your teammates, chasing down all that information for us. Runners, again, support your team captain. Get them the information they need. Pay your bills. That's all we got.
Yeah. And if you're not registered, get registered.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!